This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. All so that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Let's freaking go. Andy Staples is in the building on three's own. Even though, like I said last year, I have major beef with your co-host.
Ari?
Yes.
What did Ari do?
Yeah, he didn't put Jaden Daniels.
Trust me, I got all over him about that. I think I have changed his method of voting for the Heisman. I have made fun of him relentlessly over the past 2 years for that. Because he said, I asked him, I was like, you got to explain this to me. How in the world did you not have Jaden Daniels on your ballot? Because I've already moved on three at this point. He was still at the Athletic.
Yeah.
So we weren't conversing on things like this. And he's like, well, you know, he wasn't part of the story of the season. I'm like, what the hell does that mean?
What does it mean?
He says most outstanding player. It's not complicated. It's not sappiest story or you know, best tearjerker. Like, just who's the best player? It's pretty simple.
Yeah, and here's a problem. I'm okay with you not voting for Jaden Daniels, right? I do think
I'm not. Yeah, I mean, I had him number one.
Let me put it this way. If you wanted to do the QB wins thing, I get it. But to leave him off the ballot entirely is insane, right? I thought every ballot that year needed to have Jaden Daniels on it when his stats were better.
Well, and also, his stats were so absurd in part because he was making up for them having the worst defense maybe on earth.
Right.
So that's the thing. I have a top defensive coordinators column coming out tomorrow at On Three. Number one's the easiest one in the world. It's Phil Parker because Phil Parker has carried Iowa through a half decade of offensive ineptitude. His defense is good no matter what. And like that was Jaden Daniels in 23. That defense was so bad, but that team was still scary because of what he did.
This was interesting, and I, as much as I hate it on your co-host, I actually agreed with this list.
Yep.
And you notice one name that's under a lot of pressure that's not on this hot seat list is Brian Kelly.
Too expensive.
So you truly think BK, let's just say LSU goes 7-5 this year, and it's a rough 7-5. You feel he's safe because of
is,
that.
Is there a way to fire him for cause? Like that, I'm only, it's LSU, man. It's Louisiana politics. So if they went 7-5, I'm staking out the governor's mansion. Like I want to know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because the money's huge. Like it's too big. I'll give you the names like Luke Fickle, Lincoln Riley, Mark Stoops. Those are probably the biggest ones where the money is just too enormous. But BK is in the same boat. And it's interesting because, you know, I hardly bring it up with LSU fans because most LSU fans want to believe they're going to win the national title this year.
Right.
And they are going to be good, I think, because I think they went in the transfer portal this year in a way that they haven't before. And they went and got a bunch of good players. They definitely improved the personnel on defense. And you know, we'll see how the offensive line does, but they also, it wasn't a case where they had to plug in a bunch of portal guys on the line. Like they homegrew some of those dudes. So I think they're going to be good. So that's one of the reasons why I've sort of shied away from that talk in general, but I understand where you're coming from, where every LSU person is coming from, because look, won three national titles this century under three different coaches. The job at LSU is to win the national title. I always talk about all these jobs in the SEC where the one sentence description is your job is to win the national title. But LSU, it literally is because everybody else before you did it. And so, yeah, if you can't even make a 12-team playoff in year four, they're going to get antsy. Like, it's going to get nasty. Like, I don't know what's going to happen in the Clemson game. And to be honest with you, if LSU loses that Clemson game and it's not a blowout, I don't care. Like, LSU can still make the playoff. I think Clemson's going to be really good. But what if they lose to Clemson and then lose to Florida?
You see, yeah.
It's just – and the thing is, Florida's in the same boat. Like, if they lose to LSU and then turn around the next week and lose at Miami, it's going to be the sky is falling.
And it's interesting for you because you cover Florida nationally now, but you,
well, I live here, so this is I hear it, you know, from all sides here.
Right, and it's ironic that you join us. We appreciate having you back. Yesterday, we had a Florida Gator who's now with LSU on the show, Jack Pyburn. He was comparing, you know, coming over from the
Yeah, and they didn't want to lose him.
No,
they were in a situation where. You can't have the kind of edge depth they had and not expect to lose people. They had to make their choices, and there's only so much money.
Yes, and you know, I didn't ask him directly. I did not ask him directly about that, but it honestly, a lot of it did come down to wanting an every down role.
Yeah.
And Florida's defensive line is absolutely stacked. And that's what concerns me about LSU in these first couple of weeks is that you have Clemson, that's arguably the best defensive line on your schedule. Mm-hmm. And the best defensive line on your schedule might be Florida with Hinks and those guys.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think they had a hard time deciding what to do. And I know it was pretty emotional with Jack, you know, him leaving. But they really were in a position where I think they had six guys that you would be very comfortable in your edge rotation in the SEC, which is just not sustainable from a financial standpoint in this day and age. Like, those guys are going to go somewhere. And so you saw Jack leave. You saw Justice Boone go to Arkansas. And then they decided to roll with Tyreek Sapp and George Gums and Cam James and LJ McCray. And it's just like, but the thing is, I think some of those cases were pretty close, and that's one of those. If Jack Pyburn balls out and sacks DJ Lagway three times in that game, you're never going to hear the end of it. Never. Because this is a dude from Jacksonville who was all about being a Gator. But yeah, you're right. He wanted an every down role, and he will get that. And yeah, I remember you see that a lot. The best example of that is Jermaine Johnson, when he left Georgia. Remember, he left the most stacked defensive line in the history of the world to go to Florida State. And I remember being at spring practice for Florida State that year and going, oh my God, that's the best player on the field by far. But the reason was he was going to be a rotation guy at Georgia just because Georgia had so many first rounders on that defense. Yeah. And he ends up being ACC defensive player of the year in a first round draft pick. So, like, that's the hope if you're LSU is that that's what happens for some of these guys they got out of the portal.
See, that's what's so fascinating because I admire your work. When I become a national college football analyst.
I like that you say when and not if. I like
it. Well, I know it's going to happen. You got to have belief. But it's weird because, Andy, when I go to bed at night, I think about like these super ginormous loaded position groups. And obviously the one that they talk about the most is Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase.
Oh, yeah.
I think about Jermaine Johnson. I think about Jameson Williams all the time.
When Jameson Williams was the fourth receiver at Ohio State.
And then another one that was huge because I cover Arkansas so much is the edge player, the linebacker who got drafted by the Broncos. Why am I blanking on him? He was in a room with Will Anderson and Dallas Turner.
Yeah.
And he goes to Arkansas, he's first team all SEC, and he was the best player on Arkansas's team. Sometimes these rooms just get like just.
Well, and I think that's the transfer portal allows this to happen now.
Yes.
Before, when you had to sit out a year, you might just wait and wait your turn. And that's how you get like Quinnen Williams waiting 2 years, then having one really good year at Alabama and being a first round draft pick. Like, I think that's the hardest thing now for your Alabamas and your Georgias and your Ohio States is they just can't stockpile like that anymore. Like that Ohio State defense last year, I think it'd be the last one we see where there's that many old guys that hung around and then came back. Like, because a lot of those guys, Jack Sawyer, JT Tuimoloau, that type, Latham Ransom, those kind of players, like, they wouldn't have been super high draft picks had they come out the year before, but they would have been draft picks. They would have made rosters. So the NIL era allows those people to come back. And because they were already there, you get this super defense of old dudes and you plug Caleb Downs into it. You're not going to see that. Like, nobody's going to have that anymore. Like, Georgia had the biggest embarrassment of riches on defense. And now they're like, okay, there are first rounders on this defense, but we're not stacking them anymore. And there's no first round backups.
I'll be honest. We'll get back to LSU in a second, but since you are a national guy, trust me, we'll get into all the first day LSU camp things when Andy gets off here in a second. I do want to talk about Georgia because I have been talking about him the last couple of weeks on the SEC channel. Keep doing Georgia videos. They keep showing me love. So, man, I've watched your offense really close, and before I say what I'm about to say, how do you feel about this Georgia roster?
Oh, you overall? Want me to go out on a limb?
Yeah, I got to let you go first because I've been watching them pretty closely, and I'm starting to see a 9-3 season, which just seems weird.
It is a concern because I think the lack of super scary interior defensive linemen. And that was the case last year too. I think it changes things for that defense. Now, here's where I think they can not be a 9-3 team. Here's where I think they improve. They went in the portal and got Noah Thomas from Texas A&M. They got Zach Branch from USC, which Zach was not that dynamic of a receiver at USC. We're going to find out if that's USC's fault or if that's Zach's fault. He's right. Definitely a dynamic return man. But Noah Thomas is a very productive receiver at Texas A&M in a situation where, you know, Marcel Reed was not the greatest thrower of the football down the stretch for them. So he's productive. Colby Young, you know, we'll see if you get a better season out of him. But I think they should be more dynamic in the passing game than they were. They probably won't have the level of injuries they had in the offensive line last year. They had to do a lot of shuffling on the offensive line last year. And I think that hurt them too. Really struggled to establish the run. Like, I was on the field when they played Ole Miss, and it was wild seeing a D-line just dominate Georgia's offensive line, because that doesn't happen very often. It hasn't happened in the Kirby Smart era very much at all. So I think they're going to be better offensively. I think that'll help. Are they ever going to be as stocked as they were on defense as they were in 21 and 22? No. But they're still going to have really good players. They're still going to have future first rounders. So, like, I can see the 9-3 scenario, but I can also easily see them winning the SEC.
Yeah, I know to not bet against Kirby Smart, but this might be the year. It's weird because when you look at their yard per play numbers, them in Alabama since 2017, this stat still blows my mind. We can get into, well, they got all the 5-star talent in the world. Man, they were top 5 in the SEC offensive and defensive yard per play. Since 2017, every season, which is just unreal. You don't just do that.
Yeah.
You're just having the best players. And last year was the first year that both of them weren't in the top 5 in both. Bama was 6th, I think, defensively, but Georgia was 10th offensively. And I know everyone talks about, like, drop passes and all of that, but
the Miami fans do.
Yeah.
Yeah. My fans talk all about Georgia's drop passes last year. I get those comments in the chat on my show all the time.
Yeah, they will. Oh my God, the way they're gassing up Carson is. I wish I had somebody gassing me up like that. Like, Carter, you may only have 12,000 subscribers, but you're gonna have 25,000 by the end of this week. That's what Miami fans can do for my soul, Andy. But are you a Bobo guy? I mean,
it's funny because I was a Bobo guy in the teens, like when he had Aaron Murray.
Yeah.
I thought he ran a good offense. Like, he ran a really efficient, explosive offense.
Yeah.
I think last year when you go from having Brock Bowers and Ladd McConkey to not having them, it's a bit of a culture shock.
Mm. So, did you vote in the preseason SEC stuff at SEC Media Days?
I wasn't there, so no.
Okay, so
usually I forget to.
Right. So you went to Big Ten Media Days in Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep.
So let's just say you were at SEC Media Days in Atlanta, and they gave you the opportunity to vote first team quarterback on offense. Who would you vote?
Man, that's a tough one. I think Lagway's the most talented quarterback in the SEC.
Okay.
Just raw skills. The injuries are scary.
All right, so let's talk about that.
Yeah, because if you're saying who do you think's going to put up the best numbers because they played all 12 games, like, it's Nusser Sellers for me.
Okay. All right.
But if you say DJ Lagway is definitely going to be healthy the whole time, I'm taking him over everybody in the country.
Interesting.
I've seen a lot of quarterbacks at Florida, Carter. He's the most physically talented one I think I've seen. And that includes Tim Tebow. That includes, you know, Danny Werfel won the Heisman Trophy. Danny wasn't going to set the world on fire with his arm strength, but his touch was incredible. What DJ is makes him so interesting is he naturally has that touch. He can feather the ball. He can layer the ball. And I don't think they've had somebody with that level of arm strength who could also throw it with touch. Like, you had Rex Grossman.
Yeah.
You had Danny Werfel, who could put it exactly where it needed to be every time. You had Tim Tebow, who had a strong arm, but obviously an elongated throwing motion, but it didn't matter because they're so scared of what they're going to do on the ground that you've got dudes running wide open. And then, you know, you go back to, like, Shane Matthews had a really good arm, but DJ seems to have all of it together, except there's always some sort of nagging injury. And if that's the case, then I don't know how that goes.
Look, Andy, they're loving you in the chat, man. Jason, dude is in smoke.
Well, I mean, LSU fans should appreciate this. They did see DJ Lagway beat them on one leg last year.
And I'm still hurt by that. I'm still.
I mean, a lot of it was Florida's defense. Let's be real here. That was as well as Florida's defense played all season.
Yeah, they were really, really, really good in that game. Here's what's interesting though, as far as Lagway, I thought the ESPN QBR would be a little bit better, 57. His
completion percentage is not great. It's got to go up.
Yeah,
like, he's got to draw. He's got to cut interceptions. He's got to get his completion percentage up. Those things need to get better. But the thing is, like, if you can beat LSU and Ole Miss at the end of last season throwing like that, like, he only completed 50% of his pass against LSU.
Yeah.
Let's say you get that up to 60, 65.
I will say, to your point, because I've been a Lagway skeptic. Some of it is I just think year three is going to be his year. Quarterback's been an old man. Well,
here's the thing. Like, it depends. If his body doesn't hold up, there may never be his year.
Yeah.
And that's the part. Like, the Florida fans are freaking out right now. They're absolutely freaking out because it's not this just one calf thing right now. It's that it's yet another thing.
Right.
Because it's never – none of these things in a vacuum – or anything that would worry you.
One thing I will say, though, is the Ole Miss first half that DJ Lagway had was, to me, as good I've ever seen a freshman quarterback play. If you just look at the first half versus Ole Miss, it was that good. It was that special. I was like...
And remember how good that defense is.
Yes. And that was the thing. It wasn't just that things were schemed open. It was... that ridiculous sidearm throw. I know the one.
There's actually a pick he throws in that game where he throws it sidearm through Kamir Dike's hands. Because Dike was so surprised that the ball hit him in the hands after seeing it thrown that way. Because it looks like he's in trouble. He throws it sidearm. The broadcast had a great shot of it. You just watch it from the receiver's point of view, and the ball just comes, and you're like, oh, that's not supposed to get there like that. But also, Kamir Dike and Elijah Badger were pretty good receivers, but Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr., they were not. Like,
yeah.
That's the other thing. It feels like Florida has upgraded on at that position. They have a freshman named Dallas Wilson who they think is going to be pretty good. And then a UCLA transfer named J. Michael Sturdivant that they're pretty excited about. So I do think that piece of it probably helps him too. If he's healthy enough.
You probably know this already, but J. Michael Sturdivant was Garrett Nussmeier's number one in high school.
I'll give you a fun fact.
Yeah, go on.
Another fun fact. So my son's offensive line coach played at Marshall and Georgia Southern. He's one of those 6'5" offensive tackles, just was a good raw athlete. So in he was either eighth or ninth grade, he's playing quarterback because he's kind of the best athlete in town or one of the better athletes in Gainesville. Anthony Richardson was also probably the best athlete in Gainesville at the time. But this guy's one of the best athletes in Gainesville. And so he's playing quarterback. He gets benched for Garrett Nussmeier. Oh. He's like, I played offensive line after that. That was the end of my quarterback career.
Oh my goodness. But yeah, I was.
Because remember, Doug was the OC at Florida at the time.
Right. Yeah. Okay. It is interesting. So DJ Lagway, you're saying if healthy, he is a real deal.
Giant if. Yes.
Giant if. I will say to be technically correct, I would agree with the physically talented thing even more so than Anthony Richardson, but I can't let it go without saying Cam Newton was most physically gifted Florida. I know
I said Florida. Oh, that's true.
Yeah,
we didn't see that at Florida. We weren't allowed to see that. We were watching him run over defensive ends. Good point. Very good point.
But
yes,
but,
Cam Newton,
yes,
better in every way.
Has he been in the news lately? I don't know if he's.
I mean, he was dressed like Woody in his last podcast. Cam Newton's a hell of a podcaster, by the way.
He's better at it than us. And
his Bill Belichick Jordan Hudson rant is the best thing I heard on that subject.
You know, it's funny. I was at the Super Bowl, and I saw his whole podcast set up. I don't remember what he was talking about. I was like, "Damn it, dude." You shouldn't be that good at sports.
It sucks because he was a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback who dragged his team to an undefeated record in a national title, an MVP in the NFL, who I think if he'd had a better team around him would have won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also he's a way better podcaster than us.
Dude.
Way better.
He's as much as I hate to say it. Actually, I can't say it on an LSU.
Now I don't think I could pull off the hats. I really do think you have to be 6'5", 240, solid muscle, former Heisman Trophy winner to pull the hats off.
All right, a few more. Your guy, your coworker, your colleague,
JD Pickell,
phone's blowing up. Carter, did you see this clip? JD picking LSU to win the national championship.
Your clip did numbies.
I was like, okay, man.
It's almost if you say something that gets people excited.
Well, if you would have seen how many times this, out of anything I got sent this off season, that clip, I mean, I had a semi-viral quote from Jack Pyburn that I posted and cool stuff. But even more so than that, it was like, Carter, did you see JD Pickell? So This is your thoughts on his prediction here.
It's a bold prediction.
It's bold.
It's very bold.
It's spicy.
He's also got Texas A&M in the playoff.
Yeah.
Yet another fan base starved for something.
That was the thing. It was like when you start looking at some of these like common opponents, like so if you have LSU winning the national.
That's the thing that struck me. Because I don't know about you. Have you looked closely at Texas A&M's schedule?
Oh, it's terrible.
They're the trap game for everybody, though. I can tell you right now, Florida's going to lose to Texas A&M. Just because of where the game falls in the schedule.
All right, so we got it pulled up here. weird one at Notre Dame early, but you could see Auburn after a bye, Mississippi State. I could see.
Look at where LSU shows up.
Yes.
Yeah. Ooh, and the Florida one, yeah, I did. I it would probably take Florida beating Texas by 3 touchdowns for me to pick Florida in the A&M game. just because it, you go at LSU, at Miami, you have an open date. If you have won one of those two games, then that Texas game becomes the biggest home game you've had in years, and you have the open date before it. So it's just this massive swell of emotion and everything else. And you're going to play Texas, which is a very good team that's going to beat the crap out of you physically, no matter what the result of the game is. And then you get to go to College Station. That ain't pretty. that's scary. Because A&M's got dudes now.
Yeah.
And I mean, LSU saying, like, they learned that the hard way last year. And a lot of it, was the switch to Marcel Reed, them not being great at dealing with running quarterbacks. But I hope they got that fixed. I do think, because I was actually looking at Blake Baker's numbers and how much he improved that defense year over year without a ton of improvement in personnel. And it was pretty amazing. And now they did give him better personnel. And maybe Harold Perkins will be used the way he should be used and is healthy. And because, obviously they lost him so early last year, you wouldn't even know. But I think that could be the difference for LSU. Like that's what changes everything is, does LSU go from being, so they went from being an awful defense to an adequate defense. Can they go be a pretty good defense now? Because if they can, we know the offense can be fine. That's how you make the playoff if you're LSU. Now, I think the schedule is pretty hard. I national championship is a tough one for me. But if you can make the playoff out of the SEC, I mean, you can beat the teams that are going to make the playoff.
All right, rapid fire. 8 or 9 debate is what?
The 8 or 9 debate?
Yes, conference game.
Oh, it's 9. I just play the 9th game. Also, use it as a bargaining chip to make the Big Ten give you 5-11.
Yes. So let me add, in your personal opinion, you think it should be a 9-game conference schedule?
Yeah, it makes everybody's home schedules more interesting. Like, the reason there were SEC ADs pushing for this years ago was because the schedule has gotten so stale in the 14-team alignment. And so they knock out divisions. That's going to help some. But some schools can't help. Like, look, LSU is going to play good teams. LSU is going to go play USC. LSU is going to go play Clemson. Some teams need a little help. Right. Scheduling better games. So let's give them the help they need. And also, I think if everybody goes to 9 conference games, you're not going to have all this being weird about scheduling non-conference games. You're going to have Nebraska ducking out of the Tennessee series, stuff like that. So I do think the Big Ten and the SEC will do some sort of non-conference scheduling agreement in the regular season, which who wouldn't love like a Big Ten SEC challenge? Now, I realize it's 16 and 18, so I'm sorry, Purdue, you're out. But it would be a lot of fun if you said, okay, this pool of teams, this pool of 8 teams will be home this year. This pool of 8 teams will be on the road in each league. And then in January, you pick from the pools and you just make the best matchups.
We are pushing up against it. Do you have a sleeper?
I think Ole Miss is maybe the sleeper. Because I think everybody wrote off Ole Miss. Everybody said Ole Miss was supposed to make the playoff. They blew it. They lost to Kentucky. They lost to Florida. They lost to LSU. Like, it's over for them because Walter Nolan's gone, because Jackson Dart's gone. Austin Simmons is going to be good, Carter. I'm telling you right now, Austin Simmons is going to be good.
I trust Lane Kiffin's eval. So I was in Oxford a few weeks ago, met up with a few Ole Miss buddies, and what they basically told me, Andy, was just look at what Lane Kiffin didn't do, right? Yeah, he went and got a few, backup portal guys. But if he didn't believe in Austin Simmons, he would have went and got somebody.
Oh, and that there was no question. And I think, I'm probably putting too much on the one drive in the Georgia game in the first quarter when Jackson Dart got knocked out. But Austin Simmons looked like he'd been starting for 3 years when he hopped in.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, like, watching him before that game, just how he interacted with his teammates, he was already acting like he was the starter. And nobody seemed bothered by that. Because, you know, you see when it's fake and somebody's trying to be that guy. It wasn't fake. It was the teammates clearly loved him. So I don't think there was even a question with Lane. Like, he's like, okay, Jackson's gone. Austin's next.
185,000 Twitter followers, X followers, Ari and Andy Show. Check them out on Three Sports. We really appreciate you, man, hopping on like you did last year. It was so weird. I wish people could go back to the timeline of last year's appearance, which had scheduled for like at least a week or so. And then what do you know? In my inbox, Cardio Andy Staples pissing everybody off. He's pissing everybody.
What did I do to piss everybody off that day? I can't even remember.
All right. So I was like, hey, Andy, would you like to come on? And you're like, yeah. So it was the big NIL kerfuffle with Dominic Williams.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then you jumped on my show the night after your morning column regarding
LSU. Yeah, when I was like, don't talk like a broke boy program when all you need to say is this person's price was higher than they deserve. Which, look, what did LSU do in the portal this time around? But they did it in the winter, which in their defense, they couldn't have done the year before because they didn't have DC yet.
And they weren't – so this was a hard thing about it, okay, was I had people at LSU saying, well, you just went and booked him the day of to – for
no, we didn't. That. Like no, a week no. and a half out.
And someone was like, well, Carter, you definitely need to cancel the Andy Staples appearance tonight.
That's someone who doesn't understand how broadcasting works. Like yeah, you want the person who's causing the controversy.
I was – and then – the weird, this was the weirdest part about it was, even though we had some strong disagreements in that appearance, I overall agreed with you. That was a weird thing about it because I knew you were right about most of
well, and look, yeah. Brian Kelly, like I think Ross Dellinger went into the story earlier this year. Brian Kelly admitted all that.
Yeah.
Like it's not rocket science. Like,
right.
We knew what they meant, and now they seem to have the right roster building strategy. And I personally love the fact that LSU has an absolute freak of nature coming in as a freshman corner, because it felt weird those few years where they didn't.
It was strange, and they owe
Patrick. See, I used to cover the Pickett family because I. One of my first jobs was covering high schools for the Tampa Tribune in Pasco County. And so Zephyr Hills is in Pasco County. So okay. The Picketts are football royalty in Pasco County.
Oh, okay.
Now they're mostly linemen. So seeing DJ is like, holy crap.
Interesting.
What if a family of linemen made a quarterback?
That is so interesting. Well, since you and I become friends, we could talk, it could drag on forever. I would like to have you on forever, but I know you have family and all of that and your 1,000 bajillion hours of college football coverage. Check them out. And Andy, we'll be in touch, man.
Thank you, Carter. Appreciate it.
Yeah, but Andy Staples, please go give him a follow on the Twitters. And now we're going to get into current stuff. I know a lot of you want to talk about camp and all of it. Andy was supposed to come on last week. You have to go to Big Ten Media Days. And I was like, hey, just come on next Wednesday. So it just happened to be the first day of camp. So there you go. And of course, right when he jumps off, Carter, what are your thoughts on camp? So I thought the biggest thing was pretty clear was the offensive line. It was exactly what I had been telling you guys for a very long time. Some of this was just intel sent to me, but a lot of this was just common sense. That if you go into the transfer portal and you get two guys that have a bajillion years of starts, you have to play those guys, right? Some of it is, well, they're probably better than what you were putting out there in spring. Some of it also, though, is now that we are in an NIL NFL type of model, if you go out and you spend a certain amount of your cap or your resources, if you will, you kind of have to play them, right? So this has always kind of existed in college football in college football, but this is more of an NFL thing. If you spend a first-round pick on someone who's not good, you're going to give that player a longer leash because how much you paid for them theoretically as a first-round pick. Same thing is true here, except I do think these two players are the two best options for LSU right now, Josh Thompson and, of course, Braylon Moore. So the offensive line was DJ Chester at left guard, Braylon Moore at center, Josh Thompson at right guard, and your tackles were Tyree Adams at left tackle and Weston Davis at right tackle. The big news, though, was the new signee, Solomon Thomas from Florida, is hurt, all right? But I don't think that true freshman, even though he was here for spring, was going to be a part of what LSU was going to do. So that was, to me, the biggest piece of news from today. And look, this LSU offensive line is not going to be the best offensive line at LSU ever, right? It's probably not going to be the top five LSU offensive line that you will ever see. But coming up right after this, I'm going to give you actually a few positives regarding the LSU offensive line that honestly might not have anything to do with them specifically. Are you missing that sweet swing? If pain is holding your golf game back, you must check out the full simulator at the Lafayette location of Laborde Therapy Center. Yes, Chase and his team built this simulator to go along with a full set of programs catered to your needs. Yes, this entire team at Laborde Therapy worked hard to fix that back, your elbow, shoulders, wrists, knees, toes, it doesn't matter. At their Lafayette location, 337-981-4053. Call today. But what if you don't golf? And what if you don't live in Lafayette? No problem. They fix anything therapy related. Book today, LaborDTherapy.com, with locations in Carncrow, Youngsville, Morgan City, and Crowley. LaborDTherapy.com. L-A-B-O-R-D-E therapy.com. Let's go. All righty. So let's go to another super chat. Big thanks to Laborde Therapy, Laborde Therapy Center. Please go give them a follow on Facebook. How do I feel about Paul Mbenga versus Cohen at right guard? So, Sam, thank you so much for your super chat. Obviously, you are referencing a backup here. So, I do think the LSU offensive line you saw today, the first team offensive line, will be the offensive line that starts versus Clemson. I do. All right. So could I see a world where Paul Mbenga is starting or Cohen Echols is starting? Yeah, I could. But for right now, I think the offensive line that we just discussed, and obviously, I think most of you tune into the show today for my offensive line thoughts, all right? But when you have a chance to have a national reporter on, you have to do it, okay? Because I've been the most vocal critic of what LSU did in the spring at the offensive line position, but I knew they were changing it. There was no way that they were going to put that offensive line out on the field versus Clemson, the one that was actually running the first team reps for the majority of spring. I do think that this will be your starting offensive line. Once again, Tyree Adams at left tackle. Left guard will be DJ Chester. Center will be Braylon Moore. Right guard will be Josh Thompson. And right tackle will be Weston Davis. Paul Mbenga very well could start at right guard or left guard. This is someone who has multiple starts at left guard, pretty much closing out the season at left guard and stepping in on the road versus Texas A&M at left guard. The problem was he did not play well. Now, it wasn't his fault. This was a three-star year two player stepping in when, in theory, the backup guard was going to be Tyree Adams, and he had a very weird medical situation come to be, and he kind of played towards the end of last season, but they went to Paul Mbenga, and it was tough. It was very tough. Was it the absolute worst I've ever seen? No, but it was tough. So Cohen Echols at right guard, yeah, I don't see that. I don't see that. I do think they're going to see what they have in Josh Thompson. Obviously, the most interesting player on either of these offensive lines is Kerryus Kern, right? The true freshman who physically, I think, is the best offensive lineman on this team. I do. Some of that is the potential and how I feel about that offensive line. Okay. The other part of that is how I feel about the starters, because I'm very worried about the starters. Very. I'm not the only one, but I am very worried about the starters. And it is important to point out that Andy Staples talked about Jack Pyburn. Sometimes you need to do a bit of transfer portal transitive property, right? Do you remember we were talking about, and the linebacker from Arkansas I was referencing was Luke. Was it Luke Sanders? Was that his name? Drew Sanders. Yeah, Drew Sanders was his name. Okay. So think about it this way. Jack Pyburn loves LSU. Loves LSU. He said this is the biggest blessing. That's why he was on our channel last night. Because, you know, he wanted to share his love for LSU. Think about how hard it was for someone, and we'll see how good Jack is when the lights are actually on. I think a lot of us think, at the very least, he is going to be a Savion Jones type of impact player, which is a good player, with the potential of being maybe Tyson Jackson or someone of that stature. But think about how hard it was. He played 30% of snaps at Florida. 30%. And now he comes over, and if you were to ask most people at LSU who has been the best defensive end, they would say it's Jack Pyburn. All right. At Florida, he could only play 30% of the snaps. That's how loaded they were at defensive end. One transfers to Arkansas, another transfers somewhere else, and Florida still has one of the best defensive lines in the country. So you can make a strong case that early in the season, LSU's toughest defensive lines they will face will give their new offensive line their toughest battles. Now, this is important, and I'm looking at every single one of you when I say this. That could be a good thing. College football is a sport that backweights your production, meaning how you play at the end of the season does matter more than how you play at the beginning. They've mentioned college football playoff. They take in some end-of-season things into the equation, such as team health and so on and so on. And there is still some subjectivity. It's like, who is the best team or whatever. But another thing that's very important when it comes to evaluating college football playoff teams and all of that is Garrett Nussmeier is really good. He is really, really, really good. Where he is at his best is two things: intermediate passing and sack avoidance. So those two things help your offensive line out. Now, most people consider mobile QBs as being an overall offensive line helper, but sometimes that's not the case. In fact, you being mobile can hurt your offensive line in many ways. There were plenty of really solid dual threat quarterbacks last year that put their offensive lines in really bad spots. Someone on that side of the spectrum would be someone like Taylen Green, right? So, you know, I do think, for me, Garrett Nussmeier has the ability to make this offensive line look better than it actually is. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, as we have moved closer to the passing world that we live in, and now that you really can't hit the quarterbacks at all, so much of an offensive line is how good your quarterback is at sack avoidance, at getting the football out in time. And there's plenty of different ways you can avoid sacks. Garrett avoids them by quick passing, an amazing understanding of offensive principles, and sometimes interceptions that shouldn't be thrown. How about Godin showing up and showing out? I do not know about Godin. Let me answer this question for Boris. Which SEC team in the conference is a sleeper, underrated? I'm going to give you Auburn. All right, do you remember that stat I showed you or shared with Andy a little bit earlier? Top five in yards per play. Auburn was top five in yard per play last year. Now, really think about that. On offense and defense, they lost a ton of one-possession games. They also won that one-possession game versus Texas A&M that was miraculous. But I am talking myself into Auburn stock, even though Hugh Freeze said a quote today that everybody freaked out about, even though I've said this 1,000 times on this channel. He said in the SEC, quote, you need length and girth. And every single human being, including myself, made sex jokes. But how many times have you heard me on this channel? I like my SEC football players like I like my cold peanut butter. Thick. I want my SEC football players to have the same consistency as a Popeye's biscuit. That's what I want. So, Hugh Freeze, I am with you, my brother. I am with you. Only on what you said about this. Everything else, I give you a thumbs up from a hospital gurney. Actually, it should be a thumbs down. Still, he said, I like length and girth. I like it, man. I freaking like it. I swear, when I actually become a national sports personality one day, all these out-of-context clips, there's going to be some sicko out there that has all my stuff out of context, and they will freaking cancel my ass like they did Joey Swole this week. And I'll lose that job that I had always dreamed about. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Yeah, Jace Max, it's not even close. At this point, it's not even close. I think if you were to rate every single position group, if you were to really do that, I think every single position on this team is a 7 out of 10 or better. Every single one of them. Defensive line, I think 7 out of 10 or better. Linebacker, 7 out of 10 or better. Secondary, 7 out of 10 or better. Quarterback's probably a 9 out of 10. Running back, obviously really good. Wide receiver, really good. Tight end, you feel really good. Offensive line's the only one that I think most of us would say is a 5. But I think every other position is 7. Now, what does that mean exactly? How should you feel about that? Well, you should feel very concerned. You should feel very concerned because the only position in the SEC that is worse than quarterback when you suck at that position is the offensive line. For a few reasons. Number one, it is a volume-based position. Meaning, an offensive line has five players on the field at all times. It's also the position that plays the most snaps. So, not only do you need a good offensive line, you need an across-the-board decent offensive line compared to having a few elite pieces and then one not-so-great piece. So, LA Mom agrees with Jason. Wants to talk Bernard Gooden. And based on how he looked at practice today. So I'm always open about this. I don't go to practice. It's not for a lack of not wanting to go. It's just, I can't. But Bernard Gooden looked good today. He looked really good today. To the point where I got not one but two phone calls. One from Mr. Blake Ruffino, another from someone that I trust, right? Obviously, as many of you can connect the dots, I'm very plugged in with this defensive line. And I've gotten an interview and know not only them, but some of their family members. So, obviously, I'm not going to have any context with Gooden because he just got there. But he is one of the older pieces. We've seen him have good games versus SEC-level competition. So I'm excited. I really am excited about him. Now, where does it get interesting is he's not a big guy. You know, he's a smaller defensive tackle. Now, if you want a deep cut here, you remember Josh Downs at a Bastrop. He was probably a little shorter than Gooden, but he was around that 270 mark as a DT. So he can hold up. It's just, once again, going back to the Hugh Freeze quote, going back to the Power Hour LSU quote. And I hate this because I was a smaller defensive tackle too. So I'm cheering for Gooden. I'm cheering for us small guys. It's really, really hard. Now, here's a good thing, is you do not need him to play every rep. Your defensive tackle room should be better. So, another thing, and LA Mom was the one that alerted me about this earlier today. So, and I heard this as well, but normally when LA Mom sends me a message on Discord, I know it's something that stands out to her. She mentioned that Brian Kelly brought up Dominic McKinley. Now, this is very important. This is very, very, very important. Is that yesterday, Jack Pyburn was asked by me, hey, who is the guy that is standing out to you that no one is talking about right now? And honestly, before Brian Kelly gave this quote, Dominic McKinley was not being talked about. Now, he was in LSU circles, but not really like the normal five-star level hype that you hear from other schools. Because if you're a college football sicko, you have a good idea who all the five stars are. There's only 30 in every class. And, you know, most people know who the five stars are. They remember the names, right? I remember DeMarcus Bowman, who ironically went to Florida and then went to Clemson, and he flamed out. I have no idea where he is now. You remember a lot of the five-star names, right? But Dominic McKinley, we've had two different instances where two different entities, Brian Kelly and Jack Pyburn, have kind of sort of gone out of their way to mention how he's developing. And it goes to show you that as much as we want to talk about technique and development and all of that when it comes to the defensive line position, you've got to have the athleticism. You've got to have the tools. And Dominic McKinley has the tools, right? Now, it is interesting because I have a policy to not to talk about recruits too much on this channel, but his younger brother has a recruiting decision coming up. pretty soon, August 1st. So that's obviously, as you know, very, very, very soon. But it is interesting, Dominic McKinley getting brought up by two different entities. Okay. Who, Don McKinley? Is it Kyle Williams? I think he has a chance to be – I think he's a better overall athlete than Kyle Williams. Kyle Williams is just as good as it gets at defensive tackle, though, at LSU. He's definitely the best pro LSU DT we've ever seen. Definitely the best. Now, here's what you're going to do. In the next 5 to 10 minutes – we'll answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you do Super Chat, we'll keep this party going. Big shout out to everybody that's gone on ahead and liked the Labor Therapy Center Facebook page. All you got to do is go check them out. Labor Therapy Center, our friends in the Lafayette region, serving 5 different regions. Karen Crow, Youngsville, Morgan City. It's incredible what they do. Labor Therapy, labortherapy.com. We should start a website. What kind of website? See, there you go. We got the pauses flying in here. It's never good when me and Hugh Freeze have the same outlook on something in life. It's not. It's not something that you want to brag about too much, but I was full agreement. In fact, I had two of you send me this clip earlier today. Start it, Boris. Start it. Clip it. I don't think I'm big enough to be a meme site yet, though. Not even close, honestly. I do find it interesting. I wish Pegasus was in here. I'll be honest. That NBA report of LeBron and Jokic meeting about starting a new league? What? In the NBA, it's crazy. Let's go to Alexander. Heard Josh Thompson had a bad day. That would be interesting if Kerry's Kern Hawks down a fifth-year senior. It was a tough day for Josh. It was. Very tough. Now, once again, that's impossible for me to say because I was not there. This was told to me today. Okay? And it wasn't Blake that told me this. Right, it was someone else. It is a little concerning. Obviously, we had a Big Ten transfer come in with some hype a few years ago, and Mason Lunsford, and he never played a snap. I do think Josh overall will be fine, but we'll see. I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, you know. I do think of the two, the position you need to not suck at like you did last year was center. DJ Chester had a tough year, and they just didn't really have another option. Do I think DJ Chester will be better at guard? I do. All right. And I always say this about DJ, the fact that he played through all those struggles and never missed a snap, never missed a down. Overall, his snaps were accurate. Sometimes he missed time, but his snaps were accurate. I do think it's a better fit at guard. But if Braylon Moore is a good center, it's going to make our offensive line better. Okay. Side of Samuel, what's up, man? Let's see. We'll take a few more here. Big thanks once again to Andy Staples for hopping on a little bit earlier. Bama boy left. It was good to see him in here again. I couldn't get to his comment because of our guest. Cliff is in here. He wants to say, what is Lenore Sellers proven? Well, a lot. I mean, how many quarterbacks last year had a better win than a do-or-die playoff game road performance versus Clemson. So Sellers is proving a whole hell of a lot. And, you know, he was hurt for a good bit of last year. So, yeah, I mean, you're not going to get – you're going to get some DJ Lagway slander. But you're not going to get Lenore Sellers slander from me, okay? Now, we are pushing up against it. I want to say thank you. PHL, our numbers are doing really freaking well. Obviously, our interview last year, I want at least my goal for this season is to have 100 people in every single one of our live chats. We float around, it says 100 on here on the StreamYard number across platforms. In actuality, it's probably like closer to 50, 60, 70. It's impossible for me to know. But I'm all about the YouTube, man. I want to have 100 YouTube people in here every single time because YouTube is my favorite platform. I've dedicated my whole life to it. And yeah, we are live every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday at 6 p.m. Central. So be there or be square. And we'll be live again tomorrow at 6 p.m. Central. All right. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom. Now, big thanks to Zion Imaging and the Zion Imaging 360 Spin Booth Experience and our friends at Fast Draft Fantasy. And tonight, what I'm trying to figure out. So I was texting Haley, what are we having tonight? I think we're doing steaks. Let's go. Oh no. Hold on. Shout out to our top super chatters. LA Mom on Venmo, Boris and Sam. Thank you guys so much. Let's go.